It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford, along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. And a big weekend, Damon. It's the season openers. Michigan State's in town. It's Great Lakes State weekend. There are all sorts of things going on, including a recognition of 50 years of hockey at Lake Superior State coming up after the game on Saturday night. We've got people going into the Hall of Fame on Saturday afternoon, alumni to be honored on Friday, people to be introduced on the ice. It's a big, big weekend. It's going to be busy. Kind of hard to concentrate on hockey, but I know that's what the coaching staff and the players are thinking about is the two games with Michigan State.
Well, yeah, there's enough excitement in there just because we're finally underway. And, you know, I know our guys are kind of sick of going against each other and facing somebody with the Laker on their chest in practice every day. So there's excitement just to get the season rolling, have a different sweater coming in, have a real opponent coming in. So that's a great first step. But you mix in Great Lakes State weekend, 50 years of Laker hockey, Bruce Hofford in the Hall of Fame. As you mentioned, a great group of alumni coming back that'll be introduced at different times, ceremonial puck drops. We have a great arena enhancement project that'll be unveiled and is up now. So a lot going on and a lot of things. And it is tough as a coach to put those distractions away. I don't think our players see a lot of that. They're really have a singular focus on that game Friday night. But we've got to control all those things and worry about the puck drop and, you know, that first 20 minute, that first shift. And if we can do that, we'll be successful. You know, I think part of our key strategy this weekend is controlling the emotion. You know, everybody's going to be excited. I'm not worried about the guys coming out flat or without energy, but I don't want them overexcited and over the line, especially with this new rules, the emphasis of getting back to a standard of play. So we've got to control the emotion, have that right edge. We want to dictate and worry about what we're doing, but we can't go over the edge.
Yeah, that was to be a major question this morning for you too, Coach Whitten. There seems to be a real emphasis, and it's always this way early in the season. The league has rules they want to enforce. They want to kind of set a tempo with that. So early in the season, a lot more penalties called on things. Talk to us a little bit about some of the things they are emphasizing, what we can look for on the ice. I noticed in the games that have already been played in the WCHA, tremendous number of penalties, lots of special teams play.
Well, first I'll say I'm a big supporter of it. I think it's good for our game. It's good for our league. You watch the NHL, and that standard is trying to what we're going to get back to. It was put in place years ago, but like always, it's slowly gotten away from it. And I think in our league and across college hockey, it's gotten away. So anytime there's a obstruction or interference away from the puck, you see it a lot on an offensive line rush when a forward chips it by a defenseman. That defenseman has to make immediate contact. If it's not immediate, if they take a second or go out of the way to jam or hold up the forecheck, that should be an interference call. The one I really like is anytime the stick's lateral in the hands. You see it all the time where players are hooking and slashing the stick in the hands. And whether it leads to a loss of possession or a lost chance, it still should be a penalty this year. And I think it's great. You know, the offensive player should have the advantage in that situation or as much of a chance to make a play. So I think, to me, that's going to be really good. We've certainly tried to build our team with skill and speed, as we're going into year three. So I think we are sitting well for this emphasis and where we're going. But, yeah, any obstruction through the neutral zone, if you put a stick between the legs, that's supposed to be a call. When a team's defending, if you wrap a player and pin a player on the board, that's supposed to be a call. So it takes a lot of discipline by our players to play the right way. Again, I think a lot of things we do, the way we coach, we shouldn't be too badly hit by it, but our players have to adjust from ref to ref and weekend to weekend and do a good job that way.
Yeah, it seems to me that it might be tough for some of these defensemen who've been playing a certain way for their entire careers, going back to Pee Wee hockey. This is how I do it. This is how I take care of the offensive player. He's going to have to change his game a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it becomes a game of pace and skating ability. You know, if you can't skate right now in college hockey and pro hockey, you're going to have a very hard time to fit in. So, fortunately, we've been trying to emphasize that in our recruiting the last few years, and we feel pretty good about that. But it will take adjustment for some guys. We've preached about it. and tried to show some guys certainly a lot of clips and things we're looking at that will be called. But even within that, you never know game to game, period to period. So you have to have discipline, in terms of the way you play, in terms of your approach, to handle the frustration, to shake it off. We as coaches, it's very important for us on the bench that we have our composure. There's going to be calls we don't like. There always is. But, we don't want to affect our team by being on the refs. We want to worry about the play on the ice and coaching our players up, not worrying about the refereeing.
I think one of the things that's interesting, too, is that because of the situation you have with recruiting this year, you have only one senior on this team and maybe five juniors, and you've got a lot of recruiting done for next season. You'll be able to have your two assistant coaches with you most of the time. They'll be at most of these games, and it's very interesting there because generally you don't have three coaches every game behind the bench. That'll help to maybe keep things in order.
Well, it's awesome. It's great. I mean, those guys are so important. I think we have a very healthy staff, and it goes beyond just Rich and Doug. But, that has been a lot of talk that we've had as a staff is really just having all hands on deck all season long, and that is fairly unique, especially on the road. At home, it's typically pretty easy to set up, but when we go on the road, typically one guy will find a place to go recruiting. We're already talking about Huntsville and looking at that. That's a little bit more of a challenging trip because of the travel accommodations on the sleeper bus and a little bit of a lack of room with the travel party, but we do feel as if for the most part, we'll be together as a staff, and I think that's healthy for our team. It's good for us this year in a critical year in year three, the goals we have of reaching home ice. So we're looking forward to that. And again, we'll have to look at some weekends where maybe there's a big midget showcase and we can cover a lot of ground and get a lot of views in and some kids that we want to see. But for the most part, we're going to be, all just laser focused on this season and this team, which is a really good spot to be.
Yeah, I think it sounds very good for Laker hockey. We've got a pretty good team here, we think. A lot of young guys in the lineup with a lot of freshmen and sophomores. But you've got some juniors in some key defensive positions, which is really good. You've got a junior goaltender who's in his last year of eligibility, who's on the Richter list now as being one of the goaltenders to watch in college hockey, Gordy Dayfield. You got Nick Kotsoff, who's a veteran at this point, even though he's only a sophomore. He played a lot of games last year, so he's confident. You're confident in him. It bodes well for Laker hockey. You got one injury right now. Jake Hand is out with an upper body injury. He should be back pretty soon. He will probably get into the lineup. But the lineup we saw in the blue-gold game with the lines there, it's going to be difficult to break up some of this stuff. Some of these young guys are playing very well.
It is. I mean, and that's it's kind of a good problem to have. At the same time, I think as a coach, and again, Rich and Doug will have a large input into this, but there's guys that maybe weren't in those top four lines that I want to see, and they can play, mm-hmm. and they deserve to play. So, we're going to look to find some times and situations to play those guys, whether it's injury, maybe it's an off night, maybe it's just that situation where it's your turn to sit out and take a look from the other side of it. So, I feel like everybody in our lineup can play. Our D-core, most of those guys have shown it because there's so many veterans back there with a lot of experience. Sockerman and Bendulis, they've been very good, and they're playing key roles in special teams as well right now. So, they've shown that they can play at this level early on here. It's up to them to sustain that and grow from that. But we like this team. We the first day we got on this year in that limited two-hour windows that we had the first couple of weeks, we felt right away that our team speed was improved, our depth was improved, and really excited about where we're going. And, of course, it's always led by your upperclassmen. We only have the one senior, Gus Corielli, who's our captain, but it's going to be up to Gus to lead this team. I give him a lot of credit for the things he's gone through this coaching transition. He's lost a lot of teammates, a lot of good friends that haven't been here or not here for the senior year with Gus, but he's handled it extremely well. He's a very committed player and a very good hockey player, and we look for Gus to have a career year.
Yeah, he is playing on a line with Diego Cuglietta at center, and you had Ian Johnson with him on Saturday in the blue-gold inter-squad game, but they played very well. They accounted for three of their team's four goals and a 4-1 win in that game over the blue team, but I thought Gus was flying around pretty well. He looked really good. He scored a great goal in that game, and he helped with his presence on the ice to free up Ian Johnson, who has a pretty quick release from what I can see, who scored a couple of dandy goals too. That looks like a really good line.
Yeah, no, Diego and Gus, I thought, were certainly guys who stood out in that blue-gold game. Diego's had some personal family things going on that have cost him some time and some trips back home. So, he's going through a little bit of a hard time, just, that life happens. But he's back playing. I mean, they're so consistent in their approach, Diego, Gus. And you know, they played together almost the whole year last year, so they've got great chemistry. They're similar type of players, and then I think, like you said, adding some skill on that line with Ian, maybe in a more of a natural goal scorer. They're going to retrieve pucks and set up situations, and if Ian can continue to score, it'll be a very dangerous line for us. You know, Diego and Gus are also among our top penalty killers, so as we go on the penalty kill, those two will be two of the first ones over the boards in what was a very good penalty kill last year, and we expect it to be improved this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. What do we know about Michigan State coming in this weekend? Spartans goaltending last year, Jake Hildebrand did everything for them. They've got Ed Minney, who's a junior now for them, a big kid. Fills the net pretty well. He comes from the U.S. National Development, the team program down in Ann Arbor. But he's kind of untested. And then they've got some familiar names, but not a lot of them in their lineup this year.
Yeah, they're a little bit of a turnover there. They lost some very good players up front. They lost, one of the top goaltenders in the country in Jake Hildebrand. And, you know, I'd have to double check, but I think Hildebrand played nearly every single minute last year. So there is a question mark in goal. As you mentioned, Minnie's got a background in a high level that he's been very capable, but at this point he's a little bit untested. So we've got to do a good job getting to him and getting traffic in front of Minnie. As you mentioned, he's a big, big kid. So we've got to make sure he can't see pucks and then outnumber their D around there. And then they got a good class. I know Coach Anastas and that staff feels like this is their best incoming freshman class, and you look at some of those guys, they're an older group, you know, a lot of 20-year-olds who had good years in their third or fourth year in the USHL. So they're strong, they're older, they'll be ready to step in and play college hockey. So it's going to be a great battle. I mean, college hockey, there's no nights off. Even teams that have down years and you don't expect to do well. Huntsville goes into Ferris State, and they're tight games, and they get a sweep. So you got to be ready to play every night. And this early on, we're more worried about Lake State than we are about Michigan State. We've used some film from last year on them, and I think typically when there's not coaching changes anywhere, their structure doesn't change too much. So we expect that they'll be similar to what they were last year. Just the personnel will change and the special teams will be changed because of that.
Yeah, interesting too. You both go into this game having played an exhibition. They played Toronto to a 2-2 tie. You played Laurentian to a 3-3 tie. So you're dead even there. They haven't played any other games, and neither of you. So this is it. This is the opener for both teams. That's kind of interesting from that standpoint. And you did play them three times last year. You kind of know what they're all about.
Yeah, we do. And obviously, it's a program that I follow with my ties there. And my family's down there. They're very involved with the youth hockey and going to a lot of games. But you know, it's your alma mater, so I'm watching them as much as I can and following them and rooting for them. Certainly not this weekend, but a lot of other times. So it's a program we know well. This program knows it well. You know, around the state, they're known. So we're looking forward to an awesome weekend at Great Lakes State Weekend, having them up. But again, I don't think there's huge surprises. We have a pretty good feel for what they're bringing in. And, mostly we want to worry about us. You know, we want to dictate, be who we are, do what we want to do. And if we can do that, we really like our chances in this matchup.
All right, we're going to take a break here this morning on Laker Hockey Talk. Remind you, you can hear this show at your leisure. You can tune it in anytime you want. It'll be podcast, and you can get that off the Lake Superior State Athletics website. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Talk after this on ESPN 1400.
At H&R Block, we want you to focus on your business while we handle your books. From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax preparation and advice, we're ready to put our expertise to work on your small business. For the year-round services you need and the one-on-one attention you deserve, partner with H&R Block Business Services. Stop by our office at 3303 I-75 Business Spur in Sioux, Michigan, or give us a call at 906-635-5970 to learn more. At participating offices, services do not include audit, attest, or other services for which a license is required. And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on a Thursday morning. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Witten. Laker hockey takes the forefront this weekend. Damon, lots of other stuff going on, though. Can be distracting, but the players are pretty much geared in on what it is they have to do this weekend. Lots of stuff happening, though. We're going to celebrate 50 years of Laker hockey on Saturday night after the hockey game. You'll be involved with that. Rick Comley's going to be here. We're going to have some other people speaking. Gus Coriale, our captain, will get a word or two in. That'll all be in the gym right across the lobby from the ice arena here. Cooper Gymnasium at the Norris Center at Lake Superior State. It'll be a good time, and we've got lots of other things going on, too. Hall of Fame induction Saturday afternoon, alumni recognition on Friday. Busy weekend.
It is a busy weekend, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, the last couple of years, obviously, hockey's always home for this weekend and centered around the hockey events, which we love. But a chance to go listen to Bruce Hoffert and Chris Dunbar being inducted to the Hall of Fame along with the basketball team. But I've really enjoyed those. It's been actually really, really great for me to hear those the last couple of years. What I can take out of those is just the stories of the Hall of Famers here, what Lake State meant to them, and then we use it for our recruits. We talk about how special some things are here at Lake State. What always strikes me is the relationships you grow in this community, being a smaller town, a smaller campus. It's about relationships here, and you don't get that a lot of places. So to me, I've learned a ton from those and really enjoyed going to hear what makes Lake State so special to so many people.
Lots of changes in the building, too, and lots of changes in how we do hockey. Your presentation at the start of the game is going to be a little bit different. In the past, we've had guys come out, skate around, warm up, do some shooting, line up on the goal line, and get introduced. We're changing all that sort of thing, and you've got some great new things up on the walls here in the building this year. Tell the fans a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, part of it's, you know, that you said the energy of the 50th year. We want to, you know, make sure all of our fans and supporters and professors, but also our hockey alumni, you know, understand how much we cherish our history and tradition. So, inside Taft Gable on the second level, when you come in, there's a fantastic arena enhancement project that celebrates our championship heritage, so you'll check that out. We've got new signage out front with the 50th anniversary logo and some very historic pictures of key players and coaches through the program. They look great. You talked about our intros. Along with that, we've moved our student section. But, you know, pregame, we'll cut the lights and get the music cranked up and the light spotlights going. So we're just trying to add some energy back in. You know, a lot of our guys come from junior leagues that do this type of thing. And, you know, I think in today's world, it's about fan experience and in a whole game entertainment. It's not just the 60 minutes of hockey. You've got to entertain the crowd that whole game. So we've really tried to work hard on those areas. You know, Abby Layla is doing our marketing and promotions, and she'll be very involved, you know, in between periods, during periods. So hopefully our fans see and enjoy hopefully an improved game night experience.
You know, I can remember many years ago, well, not that many years ago, but back in years past, players would go through the dorms here on campus and try to get to meet more of the other students and invite them to come to the games. And they kind of build a bond with all the local students, the ones who live on campus. That would be great if you could fill the sections over there, A, B, C, D, in behind the opposition bench with the students, because students tend to be a little more raucous. They make more noise. Is there some student leadership here? In the past, I'm thinking of Don Winsley, who was the Laker lunatic for years in the 1980s. He led the way, and he would get all the other students to come out and make a lot of noise to help the Lakers, and that's the kind of thing you need.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, and I'm not sure, you know, how many students listen into this broadcast, but we actually just this week created a new student organization, official organization of Lake State called the Laker Legion. So we've got a really strong group of passionate students who love Laker athletics and the university. So we will have an official student organization to help organize our student section, where they'll lead with, you know, chants and cheers. You know, part of moving that section, they'll have more involvement, not only with our team, but the opposing team. So we hope that adds to that energy and noise in the building. I know for Laurentian, we came out to the bench, and, you know, typically in years past, we never really saw our students, but we're really excited now. We'll have a visual cue and feed off their energy. I know the loft holders on that side, we've engaged a lot of them, and they're excited to have that energy in front of them. So we're really looking forward to it. We've got a great group of students that are going to lead the charge there and try to build this thing up. And, you know, again, there's a little bit more of a pull from the coaching staff to do some other things, but it's all part of building a program. So we're happy to do it, and we've had fantastic dialogue with our students, and they're really behind this, and we're looking forward to it. You know, the new signage, as you talked about, the new intro, our student government has done a lot, and our student life group have really helped and been on board with getting this going.
Yeah, we've had a lot of cooperation from fans. We had fans who had seats in A, B, C, and D sections for years and years, and nobody complained. They all moved their seats. I know some people who moved over to sections V and U at the end. And everybody's been cooperative. I think the way you approached it was very, very good, because people are willing to help out. They just want to see the Lakers win at hockey again. And I think that's on the horizon too.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, we're doing all these things and trying to grow it and grow the atmosphere and grow attendance and build a program and a culture. But ultimately, it comes down to win and losses. So we know, Friday night's our first chance to start doing that. We've got to be much better at home this year. We've talked about throughout the week in the different shows. We lost some opportunities early on last year against Huntsville and Arizona State. I think we had to go through that at that point of our program with our youth. But we don't want to go through that again. We want to be, much more prepared, defend home ice, make this one of the most difficult places in college hockey to play. That's the fans and our supporters have a part to do with that. But it's mostly on our players to go out every night and play hard and be difficult to play against and win at home. So we know we have a large part to play in that, and we're excited to get a chance to show that Friday.
Yeah, you have some stiff tests in the first half of this season, too, mainly because you're on the road most of this first half, and it's always tough. You said earlier here on this show today, it's tough to win on the road in this league, and it is. It's tough at any league in college hockey. But you got the Pink in the Rink coming up in a couple of weeks' time after we play Michigan State. We go to Huntsville, then it's Pink in the Rink with Alaska. Then you've got Minnesota State, the defending champions from the WCHA, coming in. And that'll be a big weekend, too. I think that's parents' weekend for your hockey team. And then you go on the road three straight weekends. You go to Michigan Tech, Ferris State, and Michigan Non-Conference. We'll find out a lot about this hockey team by that time.
Quite the stretch. Like I said, we'll know our team very well. I like the way the schedule sets up. Like I'm, as you mentioned already, I'm glad Michigan State doesn't have two real games under the belt, because that's tough to make that up when you're behind teams like that. So it's a pretty level matchup that way with both teams starting off, and then a chance next week to get out of town. It's a long trip down to Huntsville, but it's a real good chance to bond and grow this team, to get on the road. Obviously, they went into Ferris State, had a couple big wins, so it'll be tough matchups as it always is. Coming home for Pink in the Rink, it's such a special weekend for our community. It means so much, and we're happy to host that. Again, that's an opportunity for people to volunteer, to sponsor, to donate. I know our apparel items are ready for purchase, and last year they sold out. So if you have a certain type of shirt or sweatshirt you want to purchase, make sure you get into the bookstore or get online to get that right away, because those will sell out again this year. And then again, we have that road stretch. We have Mankato just swept Michigan Tech at home. So we have to be prepared to play. And our team has set a lofty goal of getting home ice. We think it's a very attainable goal, but we're going to have to be good every day and every weekend for sure, but also Monday through Thursday to have a chance to get to where we want to be.
There are tough teams in this league too. You look at the standings right now, and right at the top are Alabama, Huntsville, Bemidji State, along with Minnesota State, no stranger to the top there. But down at the bottom of the standings are Michigan Tech and Ferris State, two of our perennial powerhouse teams.
Yeah, you don't expect them to stay there, all season long. And then, Michigan Tech's been off to a rough 0-4 start. All four road games, they haven't been home yet. So, and they had, obviously, Jamie Phillips in net.
They don't have that now.
Yeah, Hobie Baker candidate. But they do have a good decor. So they'll bounce back. They'll be getting it going here before too long. Ferris, as you mentioned, I don't think anybody thought Huntsville would go in there and sweep them on that sheet in Big Rapids with the dog pound there. So it's going to be an exciting ride. And I think, that those top teams maybe came back to the pack a little bit here. Mike Corbett in Huntsville, I think he's a year or two ahead of us, year four, year five. So, they're into a pretty good phase. Us in year three, we feel really good about our team. So I think it's going to be just a really tight year, and every weekend's going to be kind of bring a crazy twist to it, and it's going to be exciting to watch it play out.
Well, a big weekend coming up. We'll wrap up the show here with a reminder that there is an alumni dinner on Friday. There's the afternoon, and people are invited out. It's free to get into the Hall of Fame induction in the Arts Center. If you haven't seen the Arts Center, avail yourself of the opportunity there. That'll be good on Saturday afternoon. Then celebrate 50 years of Laker hockey after the game on Saturday night. Again, Saturday's game, 6:07 start. The usual 7 o'clock, 7:30 start on Friday night. Damon, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. And we hope everybody gets their tickets, gets out to all these events. The parade Saturday, we're going to stop by and be part of that as well. So it's going to be an exciting weekend here in the Sioux, and we appreciate everybody's support.
Yeah, you can catch a schedule on all the events on the alumni site at Lake Superior State University. For Damon Witten, Bill Crawford saying so long till next Thursday morning. Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400, brought to you by H&R Block. Join us next week for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk, right here on ESPN 1400, WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.